Amen. Hallelujah. Well, shalom b'shem Adonai. Well, peace for all of you in the name of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. He's rose. And when we said this, we said with faith. I was not there 2,000 years ago, but because I met with him face to face, personal meeting, so I know he's true. Praise his name. We have been blessed, me and my wife and some other friends in Edmonton here last a few months, when God used an atheist prime minister to bring 1,000 of Syrian people here in Canada. What is in his mind, I don't care, but I care about one thing. We have lots of work to do now. We have lots of people to meet with, and we have lots of different type of kind of food we tried last couple of months. So when first we heard about this new prime minister plan to bring 25,000 Syrian people here in Canada, we heard some people, some comment about that. That's not safe, because look what happened in Europe. You know, to bring 25,000 people in 1 month, no man can do this, can't control it. But we know one person, he can control, move nation from their land to other lands. God, he's the only one can do this, move a nation out of their land. And because we know these people come because God wants them to be here, in Edmonton or in Canada, doesn't matter which city. We have to care just about a couple thousand here in Edmonton. And last couple months we met with different people. Like last evening at Arabic church, we have an Easter celebration. We celebrate in our church. And of course, Arabs want to celebrate, there must be food there. And when I look across our audience there, and how many Syrian people there? I couldn't count how many, because many of them, they came just first time in our church. But we have like Ahmed and Rasheen, and Ahmed and Abir, and some people that's celebrating Easter, and woman with hijab sitting there, she share with you the celebration of Christ. Yep, this family, they attend the church when they were in the Middle East, and they came here, they still attend the church. And she keep on the hijab, not because she don't believe she have to be free of the cover, this culture. She grown up with things she wore when she was like 5 years old, and she's 35. So 30 years is not easy for her to take this piece of cloth off of her hair. But that doesn't matter with us. We have to care about what's in their hearts. We have to be sure they have the light of Christ in their heart. What they look like outside, we don't care, because in Christ, all of us one. If you have blue eyes or brown eyes, the most important to be saved through Christ. And some of them, let me share like a couple of stories of these people, not just with the Syrian, like, and other people here, like from Iran. Like me and my wife, we have a good friends there, both of them PhD student, UFA here, civil engineering. They are a smart young couple. And when we met with them first time, I heard like a couple times from them. They said, white Canadian don't like us. They don't love us. Canadian hate us. And for me, that's strange, because my wife Canadian, and she's not hating you. And my parents said, look, Canadian, they loved you. Why you said that? Because, well, when I walk in the street, no one like looking for us and give us a smile. All of us, these people, just they show the expression in their face. They don't like us. Maybe the language issue. Try when you meet with the Canadian, give them a smile and say good morning. Don't wait for them to give the smile. You start. And that's how we do with the new immigrants here that come to Canada. We don't have to wait for my next step or Syrian family in this apartment on the corner. I don't have to wait for them to come to my life. No, I will step out and go to their life to share the love of God with them. And that's why we celebrate the Easter now, because God, he left his glory in heaven and he came down just because of me and because of them. So look through God's eyes for them. God loves them enough to send his only begotten son to die on the cross to save them. But they don't know. All we have to do is just to let them know what happened on the cross. How they become a Christian later, it's not your job. Because we cannot change their hearts and make them Christians. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But your job, now summer's coming, all Canadians try to prepare the backyard to plant some plants. Summer, we have 2 months, let's plant some cucumber, tomato. You take the seed and plant it, and you take care of it. But can you grow a plant out of the seed? No, that's God's job. He's the only one can do it. So same with people's hearts. We can plant the seed, love of God in their hearts. But how their hearts will change, come and follow Christ, that's the Holy Spirit. But we have something to do. We have a small, tiny things we have to do. Share love of God with them. There's too many stories, and I have just half hour here. I will do my best to share a couple of things with you, all about God's work. When you submit yourself to God, give yourself in His hand, and He uses you as a tool. When I came to Canada, like almost now 8 years ago, this coming September will be 8 years. When I came, I have no English. So I praise God for my sweetheart. She is still speaking Arabic, and she helped me lots with the language. But do I fit first when I came to Canada with all this white Dutch background, blue eyes? I did my best to be part of this new community, but it's not easy. It's hard to change all this heritage things come I grew up with, and one button, click it, it doesn't work. It's not like light, push the button, light coming on, push the button, light come off. Take time. So the same with all the thousands of Syrian people, is not easy for them to be part of our community without our help, without people they can love unconditionally. Christians, the only people I ever met, they just love you as you are. And this why I become a Christian. I was born in Iraq as a Muslim. A Muslim Shiite practicing my faith, and I know that salvation in Islam is by work, not by faith. So I have to work so hard, like praying 5 times a day, fast Ramadan, do all these things. The law, the Sharia law in Islam telling me I has to do, that may give me hope one day I will be in heaven. But I have no guarantee. When I was 17 years old, when I decided to commit myself and my life to God, to Allah and Islam, devote as a good Muslim. So study the Sharia law, study the Quran, study all these things helped me to approve myself to Allah. I'm a good man. I deserve to be in heaven. As a 17 years old, and study the Bible and the Quran and written the language, I talk about like 1400 years ago. I can't understand this language, and with Allah's other books beside it, it's not enough for me. So I took all these questions and I went to the mosque to ask the Imam, what does this and that mean? And I guess surprised, in Islam we not allow questions, just do it. But I want to know the God I'm worshiping, what's it look like? I want to understand the way I'm walking, the road I'm walking through to reach in heaven. That doesn't give me guarantee. Well, in Islam, nobody have guarantee 100% to go to heaven. Because always when you ask Muslims, is back home or here, always if the answer is God willing. God willing. We don't know. We don't know if we'll be in heaven or not. And that's my little struggle. And so I start to read more books to find more knowledge and more truth about this God. More books to read, there is more questions pop up and still no answers. I spent a few years as a Muslim Shiite when I thought maybe that's part of Islam, as a Muslim Shiite have something wrong with it. So I switched, become Sunnis. So convert, become Sunni, still under Islamic Sharia law, but different practice. Like you grow up as a Catholic and you convert, become a Protestant. So still call yourself a Christian, but different point of a view of faith. I spent with the Muslim Sunnis like a couple years in Islam, attending mosque every single evening. We study the Quran there. There's more questions, and I still have no answers. And some people, they give me answers, but doesn't satisfy, doesn't make any sense. They just give you answers, so just shut your mouth. It doesn't work like this. Now, my searching way start a little bit shifting on my way. When I start searching about the Islam and the Sharia law, start studying the law in Islam, I was thinking to approve myself to Allah, I'm a good Muslim. But with the time, my faith start shake as a Muslim. I started thinking, that's true. Does God exist? Because nothing for me when I study the Quran and the Sharia law, nothing for me approve God exists. Nothing for me approve this heaven is for real or God is for real, or all Islamic law built on man's needs. Even the heaven in Islam, when it expresses heaven, all is just about man. 72 virgin, food, drinks, river of honey, river of yogurt, river of wine, all kind of food. All that's physical needs for man. When I die, my body will die, it's done. My spirit will go to heaven. What is my spirit has to do with 72 virgins? What has to do with all this kind of food and fruits? And it doesn't make any sense for me. So I start to go outside of by this forbidden shell, don't ask these tough questions. I start to ask tough questions about this. And I was surprised when the first person who beat me because of the question is my oldest brother. You're going to hell. Don't ask a question. We share the sin with you if you ask others questions. Don't do it. Stop. I stop. But does that satisfy my heart? No. Because now I start to have a big hole in my heart full of darkness, fear. If I die today, where I have to go? What's next? What's after the life? And my journey starts in a different way. So I thought, let me go deeper in Islam. Let me search what's Islam start 1400 years ago when I start to be look like radical Muslims, like ISIS or Al-Qaeda. Not because I like to be a terrorist. No. But because I'm missing something, I want to fill it in my heart. And after a couple of years, I become a point, you know, Islam is a big lie. That's mean God is a big lie. There is nothing such as names God. The religious old mean people just try to control our lives. So I become an atheist. There's no God. Enjoy your life. And I heard that many times here in North America and Canada. People just, they don't believe in God. Just enjoy your life as you are. So I finished my master's degree, teaching in university, worked at Atomic Energy in Iraq for a couple of years. So my life from outside looked nice. Young man, educate, teach university, just go find a girl and get married and build life and that's it. Well, it is easy in Middle East to go and find a wife because the way to get married there is different than here. We don't have the term have to date for 10 years. No, we're just cousin or neighbor and your mom approve it, it's done. But the point is, I start to hate myself. How can I love another person? I start struggling with the purpose behind my life. What's the reason? Why I have to what the purpose behind my life? Why God created me in this? Why I'm here on the earth? And one evening I'm sitting in my office thinking around and it's just one reason I couldn't find. So on that day I decided to commit suicide. And I tried. I went home. And I took a bunch of medicine, all the pills in my hand, different kind, different colors, swallowed them, and done. I went outside, fell on the street, I can't remember anything after that, but all I remember, I opened my eyes, I was in hospital. Someone found me in the hospital, they took me there in the street, took me to the hospital, they washed my stomach, and I opened my eyes, I'm still alive. And that make me more angry of this Allah, of this God. You just enjoy, look at me, I'm just trying with all this. What do you want from me? And because of this and because of many different issues, my family, they felt tired of me. So they kicked me out from home. I went to Jordan. That's nearby country in Middle East, the only country I can't go there on that day. And in Jordan, I looked for a job and God gave me a job in a publishing company, like a big bookstore. And the manager on the first day, he showed me this sessions for kids books, this sections for language books, this section for the history books. And show me around, and we walk inside his office to sign the contract. And his office in this the corner, small locker there. He said, "Muhammad, can you see this locker?" I look at the small locker. I have some books, one copy of each. And he said, "Don't touch it. That's not for you." And all of us, we came from the same parents, Adam and Eve. You know, in the Garden of Eden, all of it for you. Enjoy it, except the tree in the middle. And we know what happened because we are on the earth now. For me, this chromosome started working in me. Why? He said, "Don't touch it." I was working in a bookstore, like I talk about a hundred of thousands of books there. I can't see them. My eyes just hang about this small locker in his room. And after a couple of weeks, when I have a chance, I grab one book, hide it under my jacket, went home. These books talk about the true about Islam, the true about Muhammad, how the Islam start with a power like what ISIS is doing now. 100%. All what ISIS is doing, they copy from the history, how Muhammad started, and they said they do it now. And that's opened my eyes again, made me thinking about, that's why I have no peace with Islam from beginning, that's so clear, not from God. And that's make me thinking again, does God exist? Now, if he does, how can I find him? Till one day, someone like you have faith and have a Christ in his heart. That's mean there is no fear in his heart. He gave me a small book. The book's called The Good News. the author, his name Matthew. So I start with the book of Matthew. The first chapter talk about Jesus and God down his family until Adam. And as a Muslim, we know Christ, he's a man, and this is his generation. So it's nothing new for me here. And continue until I reach chapter 5, Matthew 5, verse 44. When we talk about love your enemy. And I stopped there. I was hating myself on these days. I tried to commit suicide. To commit suicide, that's mean to kill yourself. That's telling you how much I was hate myself, to kill myself. Now this person telling me love your enemy doesn't work for mankind. So I thought I missed something. So I start from beginning again, read until I reached again, that's 5:44. And I can't understand this. Love your enemy. So I took this book, I went to the same person who gave me the book, and I asked him, can you explain that for me? What does that mean? But he said, well, I can't really have the right answer, but go to the church. They may give you the answer. So the first church I went to Middle East, when they heard my name is Muhammad, they kicked me out. They're scared of my name. They have reason for that, and give you glory to God that doesn't happen. I went back for the same person who told me go to the church. I made him pay for my shame and anger for that, but he smiled and he said, no, you're wrong. This is wrong place. And he grabbed my hand and he took me to evangelical church. April 2000, that's first time for me walk inside the church. And I have many bad things about the church to grow up, to learn about that from the mosque, from the school, from the Hollywood movies or TV. Many bad things about the church. Like what happened this morning, Christians, they drink blood and eat flesh meat. That's what we taught in Islam, because one day in the mosque, they show up a clip like 2 seconds. That's a Christian religious man with the black, white robe. And he have a small cup in his hand. He said, that's the blood of Jesus. And the imam stopped it and he said, how is that work, blood of Jesus? Jesus died like 2,000 years ago. From where Christian every Sunday have blood to drink? So that's been so easy to understand, because they kill a man every Sunday and drink his blood. So when I walk first time inside the church, that's in my mind. So I told my friend, I'm not going in the front. I will sit in the back by the door, in case something happens, so I just run away from there. But when the service starts and the music starts, beautiful music, beautiful words, and the pastor starts on the stage and start to preach, if you seek me from all your heart, you will find me. He talk about how you can find God. And in the back, I said, how in the world he knows I'm here looking for God? Does this person who brought me here tell him about me? But that's not true, because that's how Holy Spirit speaks to us. Tell us our needs. We come in here, each one of us has different needs in their life. One message speaks to us in different ways. And then at the service, I introduced myself to him, and he worked on me and gave me the Bible, and I started attend a general meeting on Sunday evening, and Monday, same chair, they have an Iraqi meeting. Tuesday, Alliance Chair, they have an Iraqi meeting, different part of the city. Wednesday, Bible study, Nazarene Church. Thursday, prayer meeting, Alliance Church. Friday, it is a weekend in Middle East. On the morning, we attend the Sudanese Church. In the afternoon, Egyptian Church. Saturday, a small group study the Bible in their home. I start attending with them. I'm still not believing Jesus is God. I'm not believing the Bible is Word of God. But why I like to be every day with the Christians? Love is the key. They knew my background. They knew I am Muslim. They knew Muslims hate Christians. With all these things, these people love me. And I don't know why. I can't remember or understand love your enemy. But I can see Christians love me. And of course, you like to spend time with someone you love, and he loved you. And that took me almost a year and a half. April 2000, first time I walk inside the church, until November 2001. That's one day, I'm tired, feeling sick, I have lots of pain here in my stomach. And during the service, the pastor, he mentioned if someone needs a special prayer. Yes, raise his hand, and with some people around the church. And usually the pastor said, okay, put your hands down, and he started to pray. But in that evening, he decided to do something different. He say, come to the front. So I put my hands so quick down, oops, because I have no idea how Christians pray, what I have to do in the front. So I put my hands down, but the two guys sitting beside me, they saw I raised my hands. So they stood up and they make room for me. Oh no. So what I have to do now, I have to go to the front. So I went to the front, but I don't know what I have to do. So I was standing beside this person, he raised his hands, so I did, and he closed his eyes. Oh Lord. So I closed my eyes, I have no idea what's going on around now. And he put his hand on my shoulder. The moment he touched my shoulder, the pain I have here just gone. Oh, that's good. And I start to feel change start from my feet, my legs, all the pain and the sickness I have it come out of my body. I can feel a new body, fresh. It's a beautiful feeling. It's nice and cool. It's a beautiful. And I start in a moment I feel all these bad thoughts, cleaning, all this. You can't imagine someone try to take his life away. What kind of thoughts I have in my mind. Cleaning, that's 30 years old, first time ever. I'm not feeling depressed. It's a beautiful feeling. And in a moment, I saw a hand take something black stone from here and gave me a new heart full of joy and peace. I was 30 years old, first time I tasted peace. Something I have no experience before. Beautiful feeling. That's take 8 or 10 minutes. You know, keep your hands up, that's too long. There is no blood, I have pain in my hands. And you put them down, my legs start shaking. So in my mind, okay, the pastor, I'm doing good. Why are you stuck with me? Go play with others. So I opened my eyes to talk to him. But the moment I opened my eyes, the hand on my shoulder disappeared. And there is nobody around me. The pastor is so far corner. And nobody standing around me. So who is this person? He gave me this touch and came with it with a new body, new mind, and a new heart, and a new life. On that day, I know it's true because I feel it. I become a new Christian in Christ November 2001. I have to jump because of the time. We start ministry in Jordan after 3 years from that day, me and another couple of people serving the Lord among Muslims in Jordan. And we bring some of roots. God says that we start a small underground church. This term doesn't exist in North America. We don't have underground church. Doesn't mean the basement we meet, no. In the Middle East, someone like me come out of Islam, we're not allowed to attend the church. That's against the law. If the government knew about the church having Christian from Muslim background, they will shut down the church. And they remove all the building, not just to close it. So we meet in different places, different homes, like this weekend, in my home, meet Tuesday evening. Next weekend, we meet at Ahmed house. Do it on Thursday. The weekend after that, we meet. So each week, different day, in different place, just to avoid the government watching us there. But someone, he don't like this kind of work. The devil, he doesn't like take his people from his darkness kingdom to bring them to God's kingdom. And he used his soldiers. As a God have a soldiers to serve him, the devil as well have a soldiers on this one to serve him. And in Middle East, we have three military groups supported by Iran. We have Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah south of Lebanon. And we have Al-Mahdi army that's south of Iraq. And this people, I talk with a person from Iraq in Jordan, I met with him. And he's from the same group. And when he left, I gave him my contacts and he went back to Iraq after a couple of weeks, and he reported me to his group. So these guys, they called me. We know about you, become a Christian now, you are infidel. Now you have to give you a chance to repent and back to Islam. Well, when I heard the first time on the phone, it doesn't surprise me because I'm ready. One day, people, they will find about my faith. And I know I did something wrong according to the Sharia law in Islam. So it doesn't affect me. I said, just end the call and back to my work. 3 weeks from that day, I received a phone call, three men show up in my office from the same group. Now it is more serious than phone call. I was so nice with them, talked so nice with them, with all this nice Arabic loving words. And my wife warned me many times, don't speak like this with the Canadians, because that's too much nice words. They will fall in love with you. And in North America, you're allowed to have just one wife, not four. But in Middle East is different. So I talk really nicely with them, not because I have to be nice, because I'm a Christian, because I'm scared of them. I can't imagine three men, I can't fight with them. So they warning me with all these nice words, and according to Sharia Allah, you have to be die, or you have to repent and back to Islam. And they left. After that, I make all these phone calls with people I'm serving with. We have to stop. I stop attending the church. I stop attending Bible study. I stop talk about God, because I scared, fear them. And when you have fear in your heart, there is no place to be in your heart. I decided to kick him out of my life. I make decision to make the fear control my life. Sit in their apartment in the evening, I start to feel the same dark, thick cloud above me. There is no light. Dark again. Fear. Hopeless. So I said, why I did this? Because I knew who was Jesus now. I knew what you gave me. Why I did this? So I just to shake the dust on me and start again back to the family. It is so important to be part of the family, to be part of a church. Even though I know I'm a Christian on that morning, I have a Bible at home, I try to read in the morning, but without family members around me, encourage me and support me, I die. To back life again, that's what the good things with the Christ. Even those who fell, just stood up and walked, and he's always with you. I start back again, the church, and back to life again as a believer in Christ, as a disciple to Christ, not just a church member. 5 weeks after the day, these three men come to my office. A Tuesday evening, I finished my work. I went home. Around 9 o'clock, someone knocked on the door. In Middle East, that's normal. You don't have to expect anybody to give you a phone call to show up on your doorstep. It's different a little bit here in North America. To have coffee with Frank, we have to talk on the phone and arrange it in a week or two in advance. There, it's different. Just someone decided to come to visit you. I thought a friend of mine or neighbor, but when I went and opened the door, this young man I never met before, I haven't seen him before. So he asked me, are you Mr. Muhammad? And I said, yes. He said, can I talk to you? Of course you can. He's so gentle, mister, can I talk to you? Why not? And the culture back home, we cannot talk by the door. We have to open the door so wide and invite them to please come in. And that's what I did. I opened the door so wide for him, and he said, please come in. With him, another 4 men, I can't see them on the call. So when I opened the door, these 5 men just jumped in my apartment. Okay, now what's going on here? And the leader of this group, he said, well, we want just to talk. We're already inside the apartment now. What option I have? Have a seat, please. And the leader start talk. We called you on your cell phone and we sent people to your office. Okay, now I know this in Mehdi army. And he continued and he said, you're still going to the church. You still meet with the Christians. Now you have the last chance. Repent and pray, like Islamic prayer for repentance. And he said, all 4 witnesses with me and let's end it now. So I told him, okay, so my turn to talk. When you walk by the door, you said, we want to talk. Ask why I left Islam and following Christ. What I found with Jesus, I can't find it in Islam. Just let's have a dialogue. But as I mentioned in the beginning, in Islam, we not allow questions. So with this man, they said, no, we can't talk. Just do it. But I can't. Just do it. I can't ignore it anymore. I try to talk with them, but this guy, there is no hope to listen. So I thought, let me just run away. But with 5 men, you cannot just run away. So I stood up, tried to run, but already one of them stood on my face. He put his hand on my chest and he pushed me back. So I fell on the floor. 2 of them jumped and stood on my knees to tie my legs, and 2 of them stood on my arm. So I'm laying down on the floor in this way, and 4 men standing on me. It's terrified, it's scared. And the leader, he pulled a knife in his hand, and he came and put his shoe on my head to keep my face toward Mecca. I tried to fight, but I cannot do anything. My body started shaking. All in my mind, the last picture I saw, the knife in his hand, and his shoe come on my head. The knife come and cut my throat. And I feel the death too close. That's come in front of my eyes, big screen. All my life, just in a couple moments, all the flash, all the pictures. My brothers, my sisters, my parents, my friends in Iraq, all this come in front of my eyes. I try to scream, there is no voice, there is no sound coming out of my mouth. I become mute because of the fear. And this picture is coming in the church in Jordan, people in the church, my pastor. And I just try to scream in my heart so loud, Jesus, you are true, where are you? Just imagine with me, I'm on the floor. The man, he have his shoe on my head and the carpet with my face here. When I called Jesus, the carpet changed, come like a shining water face. And Christ come walk on the wall. When I saw him the first moment, I can't feel anymore my physical body. All the fear the death in my heart, a change come like amazing peace. That's happened in the end of 2006. I'm born again, I become a Christian 2001. Talk about 5 years. I was having peace for each single day with Christ. Each single moment, you taste peace of the Lord around you.
But this kind of peace, when we see Him face to face, that one is different.
The kind of peace, you feel it coming through your skin and filled you. The kind of peace, you taste it, not just you feel it.
So when I saw Him first moment, I thought, this guy is done. I'm in heaven now.
So I put my right foot on the water, so I just run toward Him. But He raised His hand, He said, behold, don't be scared. They have nothing to do for you. So I'm freeze like this. What does that mean, Lord? I'm still alive, I'm still in the world, but I don't want to go back. I have nothing in the world. And I start to argue with Him like father and son. I didn't felt in front of God who kill people or make him barbecue or enjoy to make them have pain in front of us. I felt I'm just talking with my dad. We have this argument, me and my son David, many times about McDonald's, how bad food for him. And he telling me, no, this is good for me. The same with argue. I know this is good for me, but he's the Lord and he knows what the best for me. But I don't want to go back. I'm still have it made with my sweetheart. So I'm a single man serving the Lord, come out of Islam. So I just try to remind him, Lord Jesus, you know what I chose, the right things to do, following you, and what I left behind you. In Islam, when you leave Islam, you leave everything. Your family, your friends, your job, your money, your life, and Christ. And if you choose Christ, it's done. Everything you lose. And I told him, Lord, I chose you because I know you are true. And I know this moment is true. This heaven is for real. And I like to be here. And when this moment came, you want to send me back? I'm not going back. So I put my foot down. I don't want to move. And that doesn't work with God. Because in that moment, if I know 100% trust Him, He knows what the best for me. Doesn't work. Doesn't match. Lord and no. Doesn't match. That's two words. If He's Lord, I have to just say yes for Him. But sometimes we pass under the trial with things we think that's behind what we can handle. So we don't want this Lord. We will say no. But He knows what the best for us. After that, He said nothing. And it's coming around Him. It's more brighter. The light coming brighter and brighter. And His face start disappear behind us, the brightness. And during this, I start to feel again the room environment. So I opened my eyes. The five guys that were standing on the floor, they stood back between me and them like 5 meters. And they're scared. Their faces terrified. I don't know what they saw or heard in the room. But I still lay down on the floor. I look at them. And the leader still have the knife in his hand, was shaking hand like this. He said, Muhammad, we will leave you now. Just leave the country. After a couple of moments, I'm still on the floor. I just have some energy to stand up. And I walked. I look at the mirror. I saw His shoe print is still on my cheek. That's for real. Jesus Christ, with His glory, came to me. I'm His son because I need His help, and He's there beside me. I will stop here because of the time. If you would like more information about my testimony, we have a few copies of my books. Frank, he knows where is this books, and please help yourself. I have my email address inside the book. If you have questions, feel free. Later, if you remember anything, to email me. I'm still available after the service if you have a question. I'm sorry I took extra time, but you know, I'm Arab, so this normal would be late. Just 10 minutes, so I'm on the time. I have been honored when my dear brother Frank asked me to share God's glory in my life. Things we will have to talk about it all the time. It is not just me has a testimony with the Lord, each one of us. Have a testimony how God worked in your life. Use this to glorify His glory in this world around you. People you met for first time, you don't know them, but they can see your face reflect what's in your heart. They can see you are different than my neighbor. You are different than my colleagues, people I'm working with. Shine in this world. And written, will never be shamed because we know who is the Lord of Lords. Who is the King of Kings? We have this complete privilege and honor to be part of His family. And the good news is free. Everybody can be part of God's kingdom, to be one of His children. Because that is a promise. For all who received Him, He gave the power to be His children. Many people, they don't know about this.
our job just to tell them, because we want to honor God for what He gave us, what He did for us. This is the Easter, not because we have chocolate bunnies. This is not the Easter. The Easter just to tell people what is Easter. Frank, if you wanted to stop, you have to come. Otherwise, I will keep going.
Praise God. I'm sorry I have to stop here. I'm still available to answer your questions later, but before I step down, I would like to use the authority in this place, if I can, pray for all of you. Let's prepare our heart now this morning to Him. Lord, thank You for this complete privilege to allow us to call You our Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for this complete privilege to call us to be part of Your family, to be Your children. Lord, thank You for this complete privilege to be Your passengers, to ambassador, to carry Your word, to share with this world. All these people around us, we can't see what's the best circumstances, what's going on in this world. But the way we look through this world, through Your eyes, we feel sad for them. They don't know You. You are the Prince of Peace. And these people, they need the peace. And there is no hope anyone to have peace without knowing You. Lord, help us to tell people about Your love. We freely receive and we freely give people. Thank You. Thank You. Always, we know in our heart, every time we pray, You listen to our prayer. And we ask You to answer our prayer according to Your will. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.